विभाग परम स्वरूप श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधे कृष्ण गोप गोपीना श्याम पुरार कृति गुरुदान की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवविद्राम की जय। गंग जमुन तुलसी भक्ति देवी की जय। नंद गौरी वैष्णव वृंद की जय। समर्थ भक्त वृंद की जय। Oh, Premanandi, all glories to some of the Lord, all glories to some of the Lord, all glories to some of the Lord, all glories to Sri Guru, Sri Guru, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnupadaya, Krishna Vishnupadaya, Vishnupadaya Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvishaya Sanyavadi Vashtatale Shatarane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Rajananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Sri Vasati Gaurabhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from also, huh? 20. Yeah, 20 actually. We did 18 already. Okay. Yatna deha avritya pasar bhadva gale bala nayato girgram advana dandyam ranja bhattayata. Translation of the criminals arrested for punishment by the constables of the state. A person engaged in criminal sense gratification is similarly arrested by the Yamadutas, who, bind him by the neck with strong rope and cover his subtle body so he may undergo severe punishments. Purport, every living entity is covered by a subtle and a gross body. The subtle body is the covering of mind, ego, intelligence, and consciousness. It is said in the scriptures that the constables of Yamaraj cover the subtle body of the culprit and take him to the abode of Yamaraj to be punished in the way that he is able to tolerate. He does not die from this punishment, because if he died, then who would suffer the punishment? It is not the business of the constables of Yamaraj to put one to death. In fact, it is not possible to kill a living entity, because factually he is eternal. He simply has to suffer the consequences of his activities of sense gratification. The process of punishment is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Formerly, the king's men would take a criminal on a boat in the middle of the river. They would dunk him by grasping a bunch of his hair and thrusting him underwater. And when he was almost suffocated, the king's constables would take him out of the water and allow him to breathe for some time, and then would again dunk him in the water to suffocate. This sort of punishment is inflicted upon forgotten soul by Yamaraj, as will be described in the following verses. While carried by the constables of Yamaraj, he is overwhelmed and trembles in their hands. While passing on the road, he is bitten by dogs, and he can remember the sinful activities of his life. He is thus terribly distressed. Purport appears from this verse that while passing from this planet to the planet of Yamaraj, the culprit, arrested by Yamaraj's constables, meets many dogs which bark and bite to remind him of the criminal activities of sense gratification. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that one becomes almost blind and bereft of all sense when he is infuriated by desire for sense gratification. He forgets everything that comes by starting to gyan. One is bereft of all intelligence when he is too attracted by sense gratification. He forgets that he has to suffer the consequences also. He has a chance for recounting his activities of sense gratification, as given by the dogs engaged by Yamaraj. While we live in the gross body, such activities of sense gratification are encouraged even by modern government regulations. In every state all over the world, such activities are encouraged by the government on birth control. Women are supplied pills and they are allowed to go to a clinical laboratory to get assistance for abortions. This is going on as a result of sense gratification. Actually, sex life is meant for beginning a child, but because people have no control over the senses, and there's no institution to train them in the proper senses, or fellows fall victim to criminal offenses of sense gratification, and they're punished after death as described in the stages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Under the scorching sun, the criminal has to pass through roads of hot sand with forest fires on both sides. He is whipped on the back by the constables because of his inability to walk. And he's afflicted by hunger and thirst. But unfortunately, there is no drinking water, no shelter, and no place for rest on the road. While passing on that road to the abode of Yamaraj, he falls down with fatigue, and sometimes he becomes unconscious, but he is forced to rise again. In this way, he is very quickly brought to the presence of Yamaraj. Thus, he has to pass 99,000 yojanas within 2 or 3 moments, and then he is again engaged in torturous punishment, which he is destined to suffer. One yojana has calculated 8 miles, and he has to pass along a road which is therefore as much as 792,000 miles. Such a long distance is passed over within 2 moments only. The subtle body is covered by the constable, so the living entity can pass such a long distance quickly and at the same time tolerate the suffering. This covering, although material, is of such fine elements that material scientists cannot discover what the coverings are made of. To pass 792,000 miles within a few moments seems wonderful to the modern space travelers. They have so far traveled at a speed of 18,000 miles per hour, but here we see that a criminal passes 792,000 miles within a few seconds only, although the process is not spiritual but material. He is placed in the midst of burning pieces of wood, and his limbs are set on fire. In some cases, he's made to eat his own flesh or have it eaten by others. Purport from this verse through the next 3 verses of description of punishment will be narrated. The first description is that the criminal has to eat his own flesh, burning with fire, or allow others like himself who are present there to eat. In the last Great War, people in concentration camps sometimes ate their own stool, so there's no wonder that in Yama Sadhana, the abode of Yamaraj, one has had a very enjoyable life eating on his flesh. Has to eat his own flesh. His entrails are pulled up by hounds and vultures of hell, and even though he is still alive to see it, and he is subjected to torment by serpents, scorpions, gnats, and other creatures that bite him. Next, his limbs are lopped off and torn asunder by elephants. He is hurled down from hilltops. He's also held captive, either in water or in a cave. Men and women whose lives are built upon indulgence and illicit sex life are put into many kinds of miserable conditions in the hells known as Tamas, or Andhra-Tamas, or Rau-Rava. Therefore, materialist life is based on sex life. It's the existence of all the materialistic people who are undergoing severe tribulation, struggle for existence is based on sex. Therefore, in the Vedic civilization, sex life is allowed only in a restricted way. It is for the married couple and only for begetting children. But when sex life is indulged for sense gratification, illegally and illicitly, will the man and woman await severe punishment in this world or after death. In this world also, they are punished by virulent diseases like syphilis and gonorrhea, and in the next life, as we see in this passage, Srimad Bhagavatam, they are put in different kinds of hellish conditions to suffer. In Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, illicit sex life is also very much condemned, and it is said that one who produces children by illicit sex life is sent to hell. It is confirmed here in the Bhagavatam that such offenders are put into hellish conditions of life and comes from the Tamisra and Rau-Rava. So, the description here is simply that the jiva is taken to the abode of Yama for punishment if he is sinful. And here it also describes on the way, on his passage to Yamaraj's place, he also has to undergo suffering in the sense that he's dragged over the road, which is actually described elsewhere as being very, very hot and burning. And he is bitten by dogs, etc. And then he arrives at the abode of Yamaraj. And there, according to his sinful actions, he is punished in different ways. And those punishments are described. He is tortured in different ways according to his sinful activities. So this is the treatment given to sinful people. If a person does punya, then he goes to Svargaloka and he enjoys very nicely. If one performs bhakti, then one becomes completely purified and one goes to the spiritual world. If one commits sinful activity but also performs bhakti, then Krishna guarantees that one is saved from this type of hellish condition. Even a little bit of activity of bhakti is enough to save one from hellish types of life. So, of course, we also see that Ajameel just chanted Narayana unconsciously. He was saved from hellish punishment as well. So, the solution to all of this is the process of bhakti. Karma and punyas, which is part of karma, can relieve one. And therefore we have things like the Shraddha ceremonies to relieve a person of hellish suffering, etc. So this is punya, it's part of karma. So this can help to some degree. It does not really cure the problem, but it can mitigate to some degree the suffering. So the other alternative, of course, is not to go to hell but go to heavenly planets and one can enjoy it. This, however, is also considered to be hellish because it is still bondage in the material world. And in other places of Bhagavata and other scriptures describe that even you go to Svargaloka and you fall down from that place. So then you can go to hell afterwards by your sinful activities if you do any sin after that point. And so one will have some lives in heaven and some lives in hell, and in this way we wander throughout the material world. So such a situation is not considered beneficial for the jiva. So therefore even the heavenly activities or destinations are considered to be hellish. So they're all condemned. And we see this mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, where it talks about the path of light and the path of darkness, the two ways of leaving the body. So actually the path of darkness, you go to the moon planet and you enjoy heavenly delights, but that's called the path of darkness. The path of light is liberation. The path of darkness is punyas, by which one goes to heavenly planets and enjoys and then falls back to the earth planet again. So therefore even the punyas within karma are ultimately not considered to be the best thing. Now relatively speaking, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna praises Sattva-guna Varahyuguna Tamaguna. And therefore the process of karma is to raise you up to Sattva-guna. Now so the reason for this is that Sattva has within it vidya, or knowledge, jnana, prakasha. And this is the stepping stone for mukti, or liberation from the material world. So what is that jnana? Atma-jnana. Atma-jnana can bestow liberation. So therefore, sattva is considered praiseworthy. And because the system of karma, yoga, raises one up to sattva-guna, therefore it is acceptable. So this much is acceptable of karma yoga, that because it leads to sattva-guna and sattva-guna leads to jnana, then it is permissible. But as I mentioned the other day, unfortunately this type of process of going to sattva-guna and then practicing jnana and then going to bhakti does not work. It's an incomplete process. And people will stop at karma. And they probably won't even get into the sattva. They will just practice karma yoga and enjoy in the material world in Rajaguna. So therefore, it is not recommended to follow this process in Kali Yuga, even though in other ages it was practiced. If the situation of hellish existence arises, as we see here, that is unfortunate for the jiva. So he has many hellish experiences of pain. And it's described here that he is given a special covering so that he can endure the pain. This way, he experiences it very nicely. He is allowed to experience it. He doesn't faint away in the whole process. He gets to experience it with full consciousness. And this has a purpose. Nobody likes pain. Therefore, we try to avoid pain. So if one wants to avoid this pain, one has to stop the sinful activities. Just as you go to jail and you suffer in jail because you did some criminal activity. So the punishment is there to help you so you will not commit the sinful activity again, the criminal activity. So it's exactly what karma is for, inflicting these punishments so that in the future you will not commit the same sinful activities. Of course, we can say, oh, this looks very severe because the person gets whipped, and the person gets tortured in different ways. But we see that this type of torture is also present in the material world in some countries. And probably in every country of the world, they will do this, in spite of the fact that maybe it's illegal. They will still do this. They capture the criminal, they do many things to the criminal. So, in this way, these types of tortures are things which are also present in the material world that we have here. People are stabbed and tortured and burned and pulled apart. There is many famous descriptions of how people were pulled apart by horses, etc. But that's the place a few hundred years ago. People were beheaded, even in 200 years ago in France. That was the normal way of capital punishment, cut off the head. And of course there is, the Prabhupada mentions here how the people are put underwater, then they're arrived and they go underwater again. So that's common in present day. This was happening in America. They're talking to the terrorists, trying to get information out of terrorists by doing this, half drowning them. And they said, this isn't torture. But it's a common practice we see described as Chaitanya Charitamrita and in Bhagavatam. Such activities are present even in this world. Human beings have invented various ways of inflicting pain on other people. And Yamaraj has the same techniques he is using, no different. Why? It's because people don't change. They continue their sinful activities. So therefore, in spite of these type of threats and whatever, nobody listens. So therefore, more intense types of punishment are given in the hopes that the person will rectify himself. So that is the only purpose of this. And also we see here that this actually, it is not a real punishment because it's done in a subtle body. So he doesn't die, or he's not even injured actually by this process, because he hasn't got a gross body to get injured. But he gets an experience by which he can learn. The second type of punishment is he gets a body, and in the body he has to suffer karmas for certain activities. So those punishments are more difficult to detect. One cannot understand why one is suffering at the present moment. One does not get a ready answer what type of sinful activity one did. Whereas when one is in the hellish planets, one gets judgment, and one gets, for certain activities, one gets certain types of you know, punishment. So what's an understanding on that subtle level? But when we get back to gross consciousness, we don't really understand what is happening. So we get a karma, but we don't understand, why am I suffering? And so Yamaraj doesn't come and say, you're suffering because of this, 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 this. He has to say that. So the human being in life with the material body has to use his intelligence very, very carefully to understand the cause of his suffering. And the unfortunate position is that most people don't use their intelligence, so therefore they never understand why they are suffering in this material world. And then they are likely to commit the same sinful activities again, and then they have to suffer again. So we have the material world with these gross bodies as some sort of test. One with the sinful activity, one gets punished by Yamaraj. Then one says, no, I won't do this again. Then we get him with a gross body. And then Yamaraj is looking, is he going to do it again or not? So because we are ignorant, we forget, and we don't use our intelligence, then we are likely to commit the same crime again. Then we get that punishment again. So hopefully after many lifetimes of getting these experiences in the hellish plant and in the gross body through karma, hopefully we will learn something. So the process of learning for the jivas in the material world is danda, gross physical punishment. That is the way in which jivas learn, unfortunately. If one is very intelligent, of course, one can learn simply by hearing descriptions. If one is not so intelligent, one must learn by experience of pain. So that is the process that is carried out here by Yamaraj.
Not the highest and highest activities, or the sinful activities in the material existence.
Yeah.
Even the highest activities are also
sinful. Well, it's considered karma, unfortunate. It's not sin, because it is punya, the opposite of sin, but it leads to bondage. So therefore, it's considered like, it's an anartha. It's another anartha, we can say. Not a sin, but an anartha.
And then people are not, they're punished, I mean, subjected to those bodies. Mm-hmm. And they take birth again, they feel in the mind of ignorance and more passion, still they want to judge it for these people.
Well, the hope is that by the punishment, they will not do the same sinful activities. That is the test. If they do, then they get punishment again. And they keep coming back. And until they don't want to get that type of experience again, then they will stop such activities. Well, it's not discussed much in the Bhagavatam or other literatures. As far as I know, I haven't seen any discussion of such persons. But people who are children, they don't suffer, or they don't accrue karmas because they are not so intelligent. So therefore, their suffering, whatever suffering they get, is the reaction from previous activities of sin or whatever miseries they get. And if they don't develop beyond childhood consciousness, then similarly they are also not responsible for their activities. Just like the children are not responsible, so the adults also are not responsible. There's that story of Mandavya Muni, who when he was a child pierced the Bhaga, that he told Yamaraj, you're not judging me correctly when you're giving me punishment, because I was a child. So therefore the children don't have to suffer such intense pains. But if one is an adult also with that type of mentality, then again, actions are not punishable. But still, this is the result of previous sinful activities somehow, that they cannot advance beyond that state. Just as some people are born as animals, so they have less intelligence there, and they get no karma for their activities. So if one is born and one's mentality is undeveloped, that is a sign that their previous activities were somewhat sinful, and therefore they get a body in which their intelligence isn't fully developed. out.
Another thing that we can see is in hellish planets, he is in subtle body, but and that time, you know, punishment is given in a hope that he corrects himself and he takes another gross body. But the point is, the memory would be there that, you know, so and so thing happened, so I should desist from doing this activity when I have a gross body.
Some impressions are there. They may not be fully conscious, because when one takes birth, one generally forgets everything that went before, and one gets absorbed in the body that we have at present moment. But there, in the subtle body, it still remains an impression. It's just like in a dream, it may surface, or a hypnosis, it may surface, or whatever impressions from previous lifetimes or hellish life may surface.
Maharaj, in the Hellish planet, they say there are different types of bodies, even that were even put in fire and not very burned like that, so that for them to feel the suffering. Is it true, Maharaj?
That's what it says here.
Children who are below 5 years old, they commit sinful activity. Is it there? They can punish for that?
Well, generally not, but we do hear some strange cases. You know, there are some strange cases where small children commit strange crimes sometimes. I just read that 4-year-old child shot somebody, got angry at somebody and shot them with a gun. So, of course, you know, they're not fully developed, so one cannot put the same punishment as adults. So that's even so in the law. The children don't get the same punishment as adults. Juveniles get different judgments, and there's different laws to govern them than there is to judge the adults. So an adult shot another person, of course, and they get much, much severe punishment. Probably the child that was to get counseling or something more than anything else. But so that's that general principle.
Did any mention about up to what age they were to? Up to 5 or 12?
No, really.
No, the children are going to be punished until they're 16 years old. After that, father said, this is not punished them. You should see them as a child, otherwise they rebel against the parents also.
Oh, in terms of children, yeah.
After 16 years old. No, like Krishna's devotional service, you're getting the attachment to Mahadeva.
Yeah. Which shows that punishment to some degree is a valid process, but how far we go with that punishment is another thing.
Mahārāja said that if a devotee is in sinful activity, Krishna doesn't allow them to go to any planet. Also, it's one of Mahārāja's child's book I read that Krishna loves devotees so much that even if a devotee goes to any planet,
well, in some cases, for instance, Richard Serra was a devotee, but he got a demon body. So, of course, this is also some arrangement of the Lord for pastime. So that's the case. It's not that the devotee, under normal circumstances, will end up in a hellish situation. But there may be particular circumstances that may happen by the will of the Lord.
Yatra Srimad Bhagavatam Sri Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, thank you.